You have Eddie bringing the word today, so get your Bibles out, get your hearts ready and waiting for a good word. And if it's not a good word, you tell me and I'll tell our dad.
No pressure.
Yeah, she will too. Thank you, Sharina, very much. I appreciate that. Great job leading this morning, us in worship together. I'd like you to grab your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we will begin our time this morning. I'm going to make a disclaimer on the front side. Let me see. I'm going to make a disclaimer on the front side that I have been in a wrestling match with this message since about Friday. And I'm not sure exactly how the Lord is going to structure our service this morning. I believe at some point in the service that that the Lord's given me a specific word in my heart that possibly could be for somebody today. This is my plan. I'm going to read our text, and then every time after I read our text, I pray. That's just kind of my MO. And while I'm praying, will you please, when you hear me pray, will you please pray in your hearts that the Lord would just direct my heart and my mind to do exactly what He wants to do in this service today? How many of you know that that's an important thing to do? And there are times when God asks us to step out in faith with certain things, and this could be one of those times for me this morning. And so I'm just going to ask that you would pray for me. And I know that you will. But before we do that, let's read our text. Let's read the Word of God this morning and believe by faith that He has designed something special for each and every one of us this morning. Will you stand with me one more time today as we read the Word of God together? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 verse, verse 17. It's a very familiar. You probably already read it on the screen. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In the NIV, there's an exclamation point there. The old is gone, the new has come. Would somebody that's willing to raise your hand say, I'm glad the old is gone and the new has come. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you and we're very thankful for our time together this morning. We're thankful for the power of your word. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Ghost and everything that he has promised to do for us, in us, and through us. God, I do take a moment, as I've asked the congregation to pray, so I pray, Lord, that you would just give me a great amount of discernment and wisdom this morning in delivering the message that you have placed on my heart. God, that you would bring some resolution to the spiritual wrestling match that has been going on in my spirit, so that the word I believe that you have deposited this morning may be of benefit to me and to everybody who hears it this morning. I believe by faith, God, that you can and you will do that. So, in that, in our mind, I pray you give us ears to hear what you are speaking. As we hear it, our brain, our mind would comprehend. As we comprehend it, that word would seep into the deepest parts of our spirit and there find fertile soil so that it can grow and produce life and fruit in our lives and the lives of those around us. And as it does that, God, I pray you would also give us courage to be the people you've asked us to be and to do what you've asked us to do. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of the anointing that is in this house. In Jesus' name, if you can agree with some of that, will you say amen? Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated this morning. Title of the message today, New Year, Same Me. New year, same me. Most all of us have heard, new year, new me. How many of you have ever said that? I'll raise my hand first. New year, new me. Anybody ever said that before? Six of us. Five of us, actually, because I don't believe that hand that was kind of waving like that. We've all heard it in some capacity. The new year brings this sort of thing. And so new year, not new me, title of the message, new year, same me. What do I mean by that? Well, you know, I hope that you'll understand here in just a few minutes. This title of the message was a quote that I saw while scrolling through some social media feeds earlier this year. And although the particular context in which I read it was extremely negative, meaning that this person who posted it was giving themselves every excuse not to change, not to pick up new habits, not to do things perhaps that God was asking or calling them to do, not to do anything beneficial for their friendships or relationships. It was very, very selfish post and selfish comment. It stuck with me in a much more positive context. I should be able to recognize, and so should you be able to recognize, that we did some things right in 2018. That I did some things right in the last year. Anybody want to agree to that one? Raise your hand and say, I did some things right. Okay, lots of hands on that. Jeez. And we know, because nobody's perfect, we did some things wrong in 2018. But we should be able to celebrate any win in our life, howbeit very small or whether it is very large. Fact of the matter is, you did some things right in 2018. And you should continue doing those things into 2019. And I'm right there in that boat with you. I need to give myself permission. We need to give ourselves permission to celebrate those things because God has created us. Yes. God has created us and everything about us for His glory and for His purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." Some of you know it by heart. I see the lips moving. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. There are some things about me, about you, that should absolutely stay the same because God has created us in unique ways to accomplish unique things. As 2 Corinthians 5 says, I am a new creation. You are a new creation because Jesus has done some things in our lives. How many of you would say amen and get in that vein with me today? You would say amen to Jesus has done some things in my life. I asked you earlier, how many are thankful that the old is gone and that the new has come? Jesus has done some things. Come on, say amen. Get with me. Let's get excited about what God is doing, what God has done. God has done some things. Therefore, we are a new creation. And because the old is gone and the new has come, Jesus wants to use us to make an impact on the world around us. Today marks the date, January 13, 2019. We are officially 13 days in to 2019. By now, many of us have gone through a series of reflections and decisions that come, at least in our culture, with the passing of each new year. Some have found strength in making the resolutions. I'm not necessarily a resolution guy, but some people are, and they find great strength in that. Others have found strength in making immediate changes based on their life assessment. Others have perhaps while others perhaps see the new year as a continuation of things they have already implemented, things that they have already started and put into play. Regardless of how we process the new year, we all can recognize the value of honestly assessing where we are in life and how that relates to where we want to be in the future. Historically, for me, these new year type moments come at different times throughout the year, not just at New Year's. I don't know if any of you relate to that, but that's just kind of me. I'm glad that it's not isolated to just January when I'm able to self-evaluate and honestly assess where I am personally, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, all of those things. And so historically for me, it happens at different times through the year, but the beginning of a new year is one of those times. It gives me the opportunity to reflect. Gives me the opportunity to record what has worked and what hasn't worked, both personally and in my family, in ministry, and on the list might go. It gives me permission to dream of what could be and to practically think of goals that I could or should set. It's a time to appreciate the new year and the new things that the year will bring. It also helps me appreciate who I am. Rather, who God has made me to be. To appreciate that the old is gone, the new has come, and God is still in the business of using people for his purpose and his glory. 2 Corinthians 5, again starting at verse 17, moving to verse 21, says this. I believe it'll be on the screen if you don't have a Bible in some way in front of you today. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It goes on to say, all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Goes on in verse 19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry, or the message, excuse me, of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That is a powerful, powerful statement hidden within these verses. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Listen, as though God were making his appeal of reconciliation through you, through me. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's take a minute and break down a little bit further these few verses that I've just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The old is gone, the new is come, verse 17. Paul, the author of Corinthians, makes it very, very clear to the Corinthian church. We don't have the time allotted to us today to go through the entire history of the church at Corinth. But Corinth was not exactly the best of places to try to plant a church, raise a church, build a church. There is actually a phrase historically that was applied to the city of Corinth, and that is this word, I'll try to say it right, Corinthianize. It was an ancient word in antiquity, Corinthianize, and what that word meant was to have sex. That was the reputation of the city in Corinth. If you were behaving in sexual immorality, you were Corinthianizing. If you were behaving in a way that was not sexual pleasing to God or immoral in any shape or form in that region, you were deemed as Corinthianizing. How many of you would love to live in a city where that was your reputation? Coming in, can you imagine coming in into the city of Corinth? Coming into Battleground, we have a sign that says, welcome to Battleground, established in whenever it was established. I should know, but I don't. Shame on me. Battleground's famous for a few things, perhaps. It's known for some things. Wouldn't it be amazing if on that sign out front it said, welcome to Battleground, the place where you can have all the sex you want? Don't know. You know, I'm not so sure that's the city that I would want to be in. I don't know if that's the city where that claim to fame was attached to my city. We have that in some cities in America, I think, but that was Corinth. Corinthianize. Paul says to the Corinthian church, the old has gone, the new has come. You are no longer bound to the identity of your city, but now you are bound to the identity of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Some of the people in the Corinthian church were engaged in all types of immorality, and God was able to deliver. How many of you would say amen to God's ability to deliver? The old is gone, the new has come. When we move into verses 18 and 19, we realize why the old needed to be gone and that the new needed to come. And that word, we can sum it up in one word, and that word is this very spiritual word called reconciliation. Reconciliation is one of those words that in the Greek and in the English almost mean exactly the same thing. If you're to look up the Greek definition of the word reconcile, it would say this: to reconcile. So we look to the English dictionary and we look up the word reconcile, and it gives us a little broader understanding of the word. The word reconcile means to restore to friendship or harmony. And so when we read in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it said that God is all about the business of reconciling people. He is about the business of reconciliation. He is about the business of restoring people. He is about the business of restoring friendship and harmony and togetherness and unity, first from God to humanity. That's important. Reconciliation does not come from us. Reconciliation comes from God. Reconciliation expresses God's heart. Reconciliation is God's desire and His perfect attempt to find harmony with the people that He created. Reconciliation comes from God. Reconciliation flows through the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. We could never be reconciled to God if Christ had not first shed His blood on Calvary. Reconciliation comes from God, it comes through Christ, and it is administered to us so that we can have a proper, right relationship with Jesus through reconciliation. And after we have received reconciliation, the Word of God tells us that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What is the ministry of reconciliation? The ministry of reconciliation, as stated in 2 Corinthians, is not counting men's sin against them. How many of you, raise your hand, would say, I am so glad God is not in heaven with a massive whiteboard with tick marks registering every single time that I sin? Anybody else but me appreciate the fact that God is not the ever divine sin marker on the eternal whiteboard. Praise Jesus. I don't know. Look, I know some of you. And I know me better than I know most all of you, and I don't know how many whiteboards I've filled up. I'm so glad that's not the God that we serve. It's interesting, though, in 2 Corinthians that not only has God given us the ministry of reconciliation in that He doesn't count our sins against us, He gives us the ministry of reconciliation as ambassadors so that we should not record other people's sins against us either. I'll take a couple seconds for that to sink in. The ministry of reconciliation is wrapped up in not counting men's sins against them. Christ modeled it, or God modeled it for us through Christ. And then He says that He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means that when Wesley sins against me, I do not count his sins against him. That I will do whatever it takes to reconcile, to bring into harmony and friendship the relationship that God has given us. This is hard. Not just with Wesley. It's hard for us. It's hard for us because people are not nice. And people are not nice because people are broken and people are hurting. We were not nice. As a matter of fact, isn't it in Scripture where it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly? We were not nice or good or holy when Jesus revealed Himself to us. We were broken and we were hurting, and probably hurting other people. The message of reconciliation is not easy because people are not nice. But when we understand that people are broken and people hurt and people respond out of their brokenness. See, 2 Corinthians tells us that if we are believers of Jesus Christ, then we are ambassadors of this message of reconciliation. That's a strong, strong word. If we as America want to portray a message to a foreign country where we're trying to build and establish or mend relationships, what do? We send an ambassador. An ambassador that carries the heartbeat and the message of the one who sent them. The whole goal of the ambassador is to look over all of the travesty, to look over all of the nasty things that have been leveled, the nasty words that have been shot from the mouth and the tongue against us, and it's to try to find some common ground so that relationship can be restored. Very literally, in how the ambassador works, is this whole reconciliation type of thing. God has called us as ambassadors to His kingdom message. What is His kingdom message? His kingdom message is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the message of reconciliation. That is the message of the ambassador. That is the message that we're asked to carry, not just to believers, not just to Christians, but to those who are yet to believe. Those who are yet to call themselves Christians. There's a weird twist coming right now in this message. And probably in just a few moments how we will end this message. The ministry of reconciliation is one of the most beautiful messages that we have in Scripture. I'm gonna tell you this morning, part of the will of God for your life is to be an ambassador of reconciliation. How many of you have ever asked yourself that question? What's the will of God for my life? See, sometimes it's easy to look at pastor and say he knows the will of God for his life. He's a pastor. It's easy sometimes to look at somebody like Sally and say, Sally knows what the will of God is for her life. It's for pastor to tease her all the time. That is the thorn in her side. The thorn in Sally's side has a name, and its name is Ed Statton Sr., not Junior. Now, the point I'm trying to make is sometimes it's really easy to look at other people and say, they know exactly what the will of God is for their life. What's mine? I don't know the fullness of the will of God for your life, but I do know this. Part of the will of God for your life is be an ambassador of reconciliation to those you know and even to those you do not know. Weird twist. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. This embodies the wrestling match I've been in since Friday. Ezekiel 37 is the vision that God gives to the priest and prophet Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. Without going through the entire vision, you can read it in verses 1 through 14. And this, I believe, this is the part, I believe, where God has deposited this word into my heart to deliver to somebody today. So I want you to keep in mind the message of reconciliation, how beautiful that is for you. And the part of that that you need to carry into this year. I'll say that by saying this. On Monday, I was privileged to share at a leaders meeting for Grace International, and I was asked to talk about leadership and then leading from the second chair as I serve here at Landmark. One of the things I brought out about leadership is that people are always more important than position. In ministry, if position becomes more than people, you are no longer building God's kingdom, you're building your own kingdom. Do you know that's true outside of ministry too? That if we hold our position as sons and daughters of God, as Christians, as Christ followers, if we hold that position more valuable than we value people who are lost or people who know Jesus, we're not building God's kingdom anymore. We're building our own. And so we need to remember going into this year that people are always more important than position. We're thankful for our grace and our salvation, but it is never, never of such importance that we beat the heck out of people with it. Again, we're in this weird twist, so follow me around this corner, okay? Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. Ezekiel is a priest and a prophet. In his day, the priests were forbidden to touch anything dead or even be near things that were dead. God brings Ezekiel to a valley full of death. And I would propose this morning that Ezekiel's job was to bring reconciliation to those who were dead in the valley to their purpose with God. The point I'm trying to make is this. Ezekiel was himself broken, experiencing the pains of a country that had been not following God, had been judged by God. He was not immune to the pains of being exiled because of that disobedience. Ezekiel perhaps was just as dry on the inside spiritually as the bones he saw physically in the valley. And God brought that hurting, broken, dry priest into the valley of dry bones, and he said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. We don't see the dialogue that happened between Ezekiel and God. I think part of that was, God, how in the world can I speak life there when there's no life here? We see that evidenced in Ezekiel chapter 37. That's how the nation of Israel felt, that God had abandoned them, that God had forgotten them, that God had left their bodies to rot in the valley until the sun had bleached them white. And God takes Ezekiel in his brokenness, in his dryness, and he says, prophesy to the bones that they may live. And so Ezekiel prophesies to the bones, and those bones begin to come together. And then God says, prophesy to the wind, that the wind may come and fill them with the breath of the Holy Ghost. Perhaps Ezekiel was the one that said, God, I don't even feel like I have the wind of the Holy Ghost in me. How can? And God said, prophesy to the wind. And so he prophesies to the wind, and the wind began to fill those bones that had been covered by sinew and flesh, and the wind filled them. And God said he raised up a mighty army in that valley of dry bones. This is the word I want to deliver this morning specifically to somebody. You're Ezekiel. You are worn out. You are drawn out. You are dried out. And God is asking you to speak life into the broken world that he's called you to. He's calling you to speak to the brokenness of the bones that are in the world that we live in today. And your argument is, God, how in the world can I speak to that dryness when this is so dry? How in the world can I speak life to that valley of death when this life feels dead and broken and hurting? How in the world, God, am I supposed to be a minister, an ambassador of reconciliation when I don't feel like I'm reconciled to you or to those that have hurt me? How can I speak life into those that are so dry when I am the one that is so dry? God's telling you this morning, He sees and He understands that, but life is going to come to you when you take a step of faith and speak life into something that is dead. Life is going to come to you when you choose to prophesy to the dead bones that are around you, when you choose to prophesy to the four winds of the earth and see the breath of God come into those lifeless beings and create life and sustain life in the people that God has asked you to influence, into people that God has asked you to be in connection with and to be reconciled with. How does this all make sense? I don't know how it all makes sense together this morning. And we've got this weird twist in this message of reconciliation. But I know this. God has called us to be reconciled so that we can be reconciled with others. And I know this as well, that sometimes we are just so hurting and so broken and so dry, we want to quit, we want to throw in the towel, we want to give up, we want to give in, we want to sell out. But God is gracious enough to tell us He sees something in us more than we see in ourselves. And He has even given you a prophetic voice to speak to the generation that you're serving in right now, living in right now. I don't know who is dry. I don't know who I've been wrestling for the last day and a half. 2 days, whatever it is. Today's Sunday, Friday, 2 days. I don't even know what day it is. I don't know who I've been wrestling for. I don't know who I've been fighting for. But whoever it is, you need to know today, God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten you. And even though you look and you're surrounded by death and dryness, God is doing something inside of you, because the old is going to go away, the new is going to come, and the new is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the anointing, and you will do exactly what God has asked you to do. Not in your own strength, not in your power. God is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So whoever that's for today, I want to declare and prophesy over you today that that is how you will walk in 2019. Be it, embrace it, work in it, operate in it. For those of us maybe that doesn't apply to, I would encourage all of us to take the mantle of reconciliation and say, God, I will do my best to be an ambassador of reconciliation for the kingdom of God. Stand with me this morning. We're going to close. Bow your heads, please, this morning. I want to take a moment to pray for those that maybe are in the process of receiving that specific word. If that is you today, would you make some sort of acknowledgement towards me? Maybe raise your hand. Make eye contact. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, all across the building. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down if you'd like. Hear this. For those of you who raised your hands or made connection with me somehow in regards to that word, I was privileged to wrestle with that for you. But I'm done wrestling with it. I've done my part. Now it's time for you to take the promise of that prophetic word and run with it in 2019. So God, I pray for those that raised their hand who said that that word was for them. I pray you would give them the courage to embrace it, the courage to run with it, to believe that the prophetic voice is in them, powered by the Holy Ghost of God, and that they will see life come to the dead things in their life. I thank you for that promise. Collectively, I thank you, God, that you have given us the ministry of reconciliation. And I would ask that as we leave here this morning, in our each and every unique way, that you would work inside of us what we can do to be ambassadors of reconciliation with the message of the gospel to a broken and hurting world. Thank you for new things. Thank you that the old is gone, the new has come. Thank you for new life. Thank you for new challenges. Thank you for a new sense of invigoration and strength because of the Holy Ghost of God. Thank you for the things that you have called us from into the things that you have called us to. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our King, you are our God, you are our Father, and we are your kids. In Jesus' name, can you say amen with me this morning? Thank you for coming to church today. I love you lots. I'm glad you came. I'd like you to love on somebody on your way out, handshake or a high five. Encourage them. Love on them. We thank you again for coming to church. We release you into a blessed week. We look forward to seeing you soon. Have a great, great Sunday.